Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Continuing with the chapter of performing Salah with Jama'ah. And under this chapter we learned the virtues of performing Salah with Jama'ah. And also we came across a hadith that explained the harm. So one is the virtues on one side, and the other is the harm of not performing our Salah with Jama'ah. Jama'ah means, as we explained, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, حَيْثُ يُنَادَى بِهِنْ, that where the adhan is called out, in other words, those masajid, those places where salah take place, that is where we must be present for salah. Sometimes that misconception is there, is that if in my business I got one small jamaat khana there, so now I can perform salah in the business, I don't need to go to the masjid. Or some people got in their homes, they got a small area for salah, I think they, their wife or their son can read salah there and they're getting jamaat. So clearly the hadith is saying, حَيْثُ يُنَادَى بِهِنْ, where the adhan is called out from. In other words, from the masajid, this is where we should be going. And there Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the blind sahabi, the muadhin of Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu, that can you hear the words, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, fahayya halla. If you can hear these words of the adhan, that come to salah, come to success, then you should be coming to the masjid. This was told to blind sahabi. So like that, the other incident we did, another blind person came and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also told him that he should be coming to the masjid. And yesterday we spoke about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, that would be assisted even in his final illness where he had passed away. There also he would be assisted and be brought to the masjid to perform salah. So here we learn that this is a very, very important, integral part of our deen. It's not something that should just be overlooked, and something that is severe. Performing salah with jama'ah is a very important part of our deen. So today's hadith, an Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu qal, man sirrahu an yalqa Allah ta'ala ghadan musliman falyuhafidh ala ha'ulai salawati haythu yunada bihin, fa inna Allah shara'a li nabiyyikum sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunan al-huda wa innahunna min sunan al-huda. ولو أنكم صليتم في بيوتكم كما يصلي هذا المتخلف في بيته لتركتم سنة نبيكم ولو تركتم سنة نبيكم لضللتم ولقد رأيتنا وما يتخلف عنها إلا منافق معلوم النفاق ولقد كان الرجل يؤتى به يهادى بين الرجلين حتى يقام في الصف رواه مسلم وفي رواية له قال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم علمنا سنن الهدى وإن من سنن الهدى الصلاة في المسجد الذي يؤذن فيه. حضرت عبداللہ ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه narrates that one who would like to meet Allah Ta'ala tomorrow as a Muslim should safeguard these salahs where the call for them is made. First line is, which one of us wouldn't like to meet Allah Ta'ala as a Muslim tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah? Which one, when our eyes close, which one of us can say we wouldn't like Allah Ta'ala, wouldn't like to meet Allah Ta'ala as a Muslim? So here this is a prescription. One who would like to meet Allah Ta'ala tomorrow as a Muslim should safeguard the salahs where the call for them is made. In other words, in the masajid. Allah Ta'ala prescribed for you. Who is narrating this hadith? As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Allah Ta'ala has prescribed for your messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the sunan al-huda, the ways of guidance. Just now we'll explain what is sunan al-huda. So here the hadith is saying Allah Ta'ala has prescribed for your Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the sunan al-huda, the ways of guidance. And these salah are from amongst the ways of guidance. If you were to offer them in your houses, as this person who remained behind offers them in his house, you would be amending the sunnah of your messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In those days, that even the munafiq, the ordinary munafiq, as this is being, we'll see, that he also would be frightened to read salah at home. And the person whose nifaq was clear, open, then he wouldn't come to the masjid. But those that were munafiqin and they were hiding their nifaq, they also would be present for salah. So now look, in our time and age, Allah Ta'ala protect us, forgive us. How easy salah is just gone, a person just misses the namaz, take out the musalla at home. This is for those that read, and those that don't, they don't even care. Sometimes a person is going for Umrah, he's going for Hajj. And then on the plane also, namaz is just must. There's no care about Salah. Whereas this is the thing that we should be worried about the most. The pious people, even when they're traveling, we're thinking how we can get a masjid on the way, so we don't miss salah or jama'ah. And this is what you call a person whose heart is attached to the masjid. Come what may, I mustn't miss my salah or jama'ah, I mustn't miss my takbir-e-ola, I mustn't miss my first saf, for whatever the cost is, whatever it is, I'm not prepared to miss it. Anyway, the hadith goes on to say, and if you abandon the sunnah of your messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will go astray. I recall, Hazrat Abdullah bin Saud radiallahu anhu is saying, that I recall that none except a hypocrite whose hypocrisy was well known would stay away. And a person would be brought to the masjid while being supported between two people until he was made to stand in the room. This is a person that is ill, person that is unfit, but yet he's being supported by two people and then he's brought to come and stand in the row. One other point we take out from here is that how easily people sit today. Yes, you get people that are genuinely need to use the chair. Sharia allows for it. But as a habit it's becoming where you're seeing youngsters and other people for no reason, just sitting unnecessarily, or maybe it is a small reason where they can even sit on the floor and read, or they can stand with a little bit of difficulty, a little bit of taklif, they can stand, and the salah can get done without them causing any harm to themselves. It can get done, and if many other things they are doing, but when they come to the masjid, then the chair is taken out and put there. Here, what we see from the hadith is that they would be supported, and they would be made to stand in the row. There wasn't such a thing as a general practice of chairs and all coming into the masjid. And some masjid you find now also, if you look, they got sofas that are put there also in the masjid for salah. So yeah, the closer we get to the sunnah, the closer we are getting to the way of guidance, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another narration has that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us the ways of guidance, and performing salah in a masjid where the call is given is one of the ways of guidance. So we spoke about Sunan al-Huda, and I explained, we'll give it some explanation just now. So the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be broadly described as two types. The sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you take a broad category, it can be categorized in two types. One is Sunan al-Huda, and the other is known as Sunan al-Zawaid, or sometimes is referred to as Sunan al-Adiyah. Sunan al-Huda are those sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam deliberately did it as an ibadat. This is a sunnah and it is done as an ibadat. For example, we get the sunnat muakkada and sunnat ghair muakkada. Those sunnahs that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed, but he didn't put any emphasis on its punctuality. Like for example, a person reading the four sunnah before Asr salah, or person reading the sunnah salah before Isha salah. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam would do this, but he didn't emphasize upon it. And there were some that he emphasized, for example, the sunnah before Fajr salah, the sunnah before Zuhr salah. The other sunnah is the sunnah of the miswak. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam deliberately did this as an ibadat. And then you get some sunnahs that are known as sunan al-zawaid. Those sunnahs, those that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he did it as a habit. He never specifically do it as an ibadat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, for example, would wear a lungi. Now we won't wear a lungi saying that it is sunnah to wear a lungi. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did do it, but he did it as a habit. He didn't do it as an ibadat. So that is the difference between the Sunan al-Huda and the Sunan al-Zawaid or Sunan al-Adiyah. So here this hadith is saying that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he performed salah with jama'ah as a Sunan al-Huda. In other words, done as an ibadat, done specifically for a person's guidance. So ya fa inna Allah shara'a li nabiyyikum sunan al-huda. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed, made it part of the sharia for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this performing salah with jama'ah. In other words, it's not something that is just by the way, it is something that is very serious. Salah with jama'ah, some ulama say that it is wajib, and others say that it is very, very emphasized sunnah. Sunnah mu'akkada, person habitually leaving it becomes a sinner. In fact, if a person takes it to be something that is trivial, something that is not necessary in deen, so that person now becomes a fasik. Or a person that is just leaving it out, habitually leaving it out, constantly leaving it out, that person now is a fasik. Fasik means he is an open sinner. Like how you get a person that is openly committing gunas, that person cannot be a, he cannot give testimony as far as the moon is concerned. If he's called in the court of law to give testimony in favor of someone, he cannot give testimony in the favor of someone, because this person now is an open, flagrant sinner. So like that, the person not coming for Jama'ah in Sharia is a flagrant sinner. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making it part and parcel of our lives. Every salah we read must be with Jama'ah. Try our best. Even if a person not feeling a little bit well, doesn't matter. He comes and just reads his salah and he goes away. Try best. We should try our best not to miss our salah. Yes, if a person is genuinely ill, he can't make it, or he's got a valid excuse, then Shariat allows for that. But as a general rule, the place for a man reading salah is in a masjid, and tomorrow we'll do that. The virtues and rewards for a woman reading salah at home. Allah Pak, give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.